to 071987, the United States versus Norma Smith. It's Mr. Donovan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court and Counsel Koning. The District Court in this case, my name is Chris Donovan. I represent Norma Smith, defendant appellant. And when Ms. Smith was sentenced, the District Court in this case impermissibly applied a presumption of reasonableness to the within-guideline range sentence. And I believe the remedy would be a new sentencing when the Court did that. And I believe that it's important when deciding if the Court did apply a presumption to look at the actual wording. And I believe error must be found when scrutinizing the Court's sentence because the focus does have to be on what the Court actually did and said versus what it might have done or what it might have thought. And I do think there's a few key statements made by the Court that clearly show it did apply a presumption. First and most significantly, it stated towards the beginning of the sentencing, quote, "It has to take those guidelines and place them against the factors in 3553 to decide or determine whether or not there is a basis for departing either upward or downward from the guidelines," end quote. I believe that is an important statement because it clearly shows that the judge in this case was weighing the guidelines against the other 3553 factors as opposed to considering it as just one of many 3553 factors. I think the second most important quote that the district court said was that the sentencing guidelines are considered if the court sentences within the guideline presumptively reasonable, end quote. So here the court unequivocally stated that it had a presumption in mind, it was considering a presumption, and it knew that if it went within the guideline range that the sentence would be considered presumptively reasonable. It doesn't specifically state that it was this court's presumption to apply. I think it also could be interpreted that it thought on its own, if it was sentenced within the guidelines, it was presumptively reasonable, but clearly it did reference the presumption. And the last quote is, "The court has found no reason to disagree with the range of sentence established by the sentencing guidelines," end quote. And again, I think this shows that it elevated the sentencing guideline range over that of the other 3553 factors when determining Ms. Smith's sentence in this case. I think the Wilms case is awfully important in this case. This is a Sixth Circuit case that I cited in my brief. This case is very similar. In Wilms, the court noted the presumption of reasonableness, just as the court in this case did. In Wilms, the court also noted that it has to consider the 3553 factors. It expressly note that, but it didn't really seem to follow that because it eventually did impose on the defense a burden to overcome the presumption of reasonableness, and I believe that's what happened in this case.
You know, I have to say, I think that you were placed in a difficult situation, you know, after we remanded, you know, on after the Anders brief.
Correct.
Because I think I, for one, now realize that to the extent that the court erred, it probably erred in Ms. Smith's favor because the court sentenced her to the top of the guidelines and commented that it would be reasonable to go even higher. Now, if indeed the court felt constrained to stay within the guidelines, it was a constraint to stay beneath the maximum sentence in the range. And any error that probably endured to your benefit.
That's a possibility, but I also believe that's not necessarily so. I know the government in their brief states that the court unequivocally indicated that it would have gone above the guidelines as opposed to going within or at the low end or even below the guidelines. I don't think that's necessarily true. At sentencing, I raised several mitigating factors on my client's behalf. I think there was a lot of factors that pointed towards perhaps a lesser sentence. We also asked for concurrent time as opposed to consecutive time. And I think that the court easily could go below if it doesn't constrain itself by assuming that the guideline range sentence is correct. I believe when it constrained itself with the guideline range, it went from the statutory range of 0 to 20 years down to where it was applying a presumption that 21 to 27 months was appropriate, and that, again, constrained its thinking, as the Schmidt case kind of alludes to. And when a judge has any sort of outside constraint on his thinking, it's hard to say, I believe, where he would have gone.
Except that the court had also considered the factors that would have favored a lighter sentence, including, you know, her support of family, or care for her disabled children, and her terrible history as a victim of abuse. And he had considered all of that, and yet he followed with the comment that the court would not be unreasonable and could fashion analysis that go beyond what the sentencing guidelines call for, as Mr. Koenig from the government has argued. So
That is correct. I think the key word in that statement by the court, though, is could fashion analysis. I don't believe it is unequivocal, as the government states in their brief. And I do believe, again, if there's not an outside constraint on the judge's discretion in this case, he could well go lower within the guidelines or even perhaps below the guidelines.
But he could also go above the
Absolutely.
Guidelines. And that's the, you know, that ought to be a, that's the kind of elephant in the room.
Well, and then my question related to that, too, I assume you've let Mr. Smith know there is that possibility.
Absolutely.
Right? Because, that to me is a serious matter, because when you look at most of the cases where we've had this issue of presumptive reasonableness, it's usually when the sentence has been at the low end of the guideline range. And so this is a unique case in that sense, because the range was at the high end.
Absolutely, and there is a risk that Judge Randa, if this case goes back down on remand, could go higher. I discussed that with my client. She's well aware that it was her desire to proceed today, and I also do believe that it's important, maybe even just for policy reasons, to clarify to the district courts that they do have to follow the correct procedure post Gall, post Kimbrough, and these recent sentencing cases to know that they can exercise their discretion in the proper way and as they see fit. So I think it is important to clarify this. Unfortunately, there is a risk to my client in this case that it could go higher. I see I'm in rebuttal time, so I will step down. And
Mr. Donovan.
Thank you.
Mr. Caney.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jonathan Koenig, and I appear on behalf of the United States. I was trial counsel below. I think perhaps this appeal may illustrate that there's a fine line between using the guidelines as your starting point, which the district judges are encouraged to do, and applying a presumption in favor of the guidelines, which they're not allowed to do after Rita. I think we're on the okay side of that line in this case. Now, after Rita, probably district judges are well advised to avoid the P word, the presumption word. Judge Randa did allude to the presumption. I think his statement of the law was and is correct. But I think if you look at the record as a whole, what it shows is that he was using the guidelines as a starting point for his analysis.
Well, why isn't it the better course here to remand so we're sure about the sentence that the court would have imposed, knowing that it could not presume the guidelines to be reasonable?
Well, I see very little point in remanding the case, Your Honor. If I had to predict, I'd say there's a 99.9% chance that the case comes back the same way, and maybe a very, very slight chance that it comes back above the guidelines, based on Judge Randa's comment that it would be reasonable to do that. So just for reasons of judicial efficiency and economy, I don't think it's necessary to do that. This isn't a case like Ross where the district judge says, I have to give you a guideline sentence unless you give me a real good reason not to. This is not a case like Schmidt or Wachowiak where there's a lot of discussion about public policy and congressional determinations and where the focus is really on an entire class of cases as opposed to the individual defendant before the court. For all of these reasons, we would ask you to affirm the sentence based on the entirety of Judge Randa's comments, his careful consideration of this defendant's record.
Can you remind me, what was her state sentence?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. I think she was serving a sentence of several years in state court.
Because this was consecutive, of course.
Yes, it was. I'll defer to opposing counsel for that, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Koenig. Mr. Donovan, do you know do you recall her state sentence?
I do not know the exact length of the state sentence, but I do know that her state release date is June 8th of 2009. So from this point forward, she does have over a year. Of course, being Wisconsin, it is truth in sentencing, so that means that she will be serving her full time in prison until that date. I would like to address a few comments that opposing counsel made. One of the questions you asked him was why not remand? And I think it is important to remand. First, it's important to ensure that the court did follow the proper procedure. And again, this is what Wallace talks about, to make sure that Ms. Smith was sentenced upon actual reasons given and not on what could have been done or on whether the sentence could have been supported by different rationale, but on what the court actually did. And I would also like to just follow up. Counsel said several reasons why this case is not like Ross, not like Schmidt, not like Wachowiak. I'd like to point out why I don't think this case is necessarily all that much like Bang. Bang states that the trial court used loose language, and loose language basically referred to departing or varying from a guideline range. I don't believe the court in this case did use loose language. I think the language was very clear, that he was weighing the guidelines against other factors and that he was applying a presumption. And so I would argue that Bang is not a very similar case. I think it is very distinguishable. I think Wilms is much more in line with the facts of this case and much more along those lines. Yeah, that's really all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Mr. Donovan, we want to thank you because you've done yeoman's work on this particular case. Thank you. You have the thanks of the court. You were court appointed.